If you lived in Oregon during the 1980s, you surely remember the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, Ma Anand Sheela, all those guys. 93 Rolls Royces out in the middle of the Central Oregon Desert. This is part two of my four-part series of articles about Rajneesh Param, and I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. My name is Finn J.D. John. It's Monday, April 23rd, and I'm reading a column from the archives of the weekly newspaper column I write, Offbeat Oregon History. I do this every day. Of course, if you subscribe to this, you already know that. If you'd like to know more about it or the newspaper column, stay tuned or go to offbeatoregon.com. Today's column ran in the newspapers on May 16th, 2010, under the headline, Rajneesh Param, Oregon's Red Scare Featured Dozens of Rolls Royces. Here we go. One of the strangest episodes in Oregon history took place just a few dozen years ago when an East Indian guru bought a patch of Central Oregon high desert country. Many of us remember the saga of the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh vividly. Although the Bhagwan said he was not a spiritual leader or founder of a cult, he did apply for tax-exempt religious group status for his organization. He wasn't big on poverty, and when his followers started buying him Rolls-Royce automobiles, he was happy to accept. By the end of his ride, he had at least 90 of them, 93 to be exact. While he'd been known in India as the sex guru, he quickly became known in his new home as the Rolls-Royce guru. Now, Central Oregon is a place where people mind their own business, so you would expect the locals to react to a group of mystics buying one of the local ranches with not much more than a chuckle and a shake of the head. And that's how it was at first. But you may recall the honeymoon for the sannyasins, as they called themselves, was very short. It ended virtually the instant the Bhagwan's designated spokeswoman and number two, Ma Anand Sheela, started talking to the media. Sheela considered Oregon locals to be a bunch of ignorant, small-minded rednecks, and she never missed a chance to share that view. It didn't help matters that the Bhagwan started staging road shows every day, driving one Rolls or another 70 miles from the ranch, accompanied by security jeeps full of armed guards and buses of devotees to get an ice cream soda, which is kind of a strange menu selection for a diabetic man in Madras. He would enjoy the soda in the car while the red-clad multitudes danced around the Rolls, celebrating the guru's snack in the noisy style of Westerners acting out their stereotypes of Eastern mysticism. Meanwhile, the newcomers were having trouble getting variances approved to build a big city on the land zoned for exclusive farm use. So they bought a building in Antelope, moved a bunch of followers into it, and ran four of them for city council. In desperation, the locals tried to disincorporate, but the red people were now voting members of the town, and there was only so much resistance the town's 43 other registered voters could put up. Having tasted the cup of power, the commune now sets its sights on bigger game. First, they incorporated their commune as a genuine municipality, so then they had two towns. Then, they started trying to pack followers into the commune so that they might have a greater impact on Wasco County elections. To do this, Rajneesh leaders threw open the gates to the nation's homeless, paying bus fare for anyone who wanted to come to Rajneesh Param for the, quote, Share a Home program. Free food, shelter, and clothing. It was a compelling idea for anyone shivering under a railroad bridge in February in Seattle or Oakland or Boston or wherever. However, to be eligible, the homeless people had to be adults. Homeless families were not brought in. Meanwhile, the Bhagwan's teachings had lurched wildly into weirdness, lending some actual credibility to his later claims that his voice had been co-opted by Sheela. Now he was predicting global thermonuclear holocaust by the mid-1990s and urging his followers to dig deep bunkers so they could survive it. By this time, Sheela had his power of attorney as well. And on the surface, it looked like she was managing it very well. By the end of 1984, despite the resentment and open enmity of almost everyone, the Bhagwan's followers seemed poised to take over Wasco County and build the shining sannyasin city the bearded one had always talked and dreamed about. But it was not to be. 2 years later, the Bhagwan was in exile, Sheela was in prison, Antelope was back in the hand of its citizens, and law enforcement officers were breathing a sigh of relief. Talk about how that went down tomorrow. You've been listening to an Offbeat Oregon History Archive column. If you'd like more, you can read hundreds of columns from the last 4 years on our website at offbeatoregon.com. on the website. You can also subscribe to get these podcasts delivered straight to your smartphone every day via RSS or iTunes, or join the conversation on the Facebook page or Twitter feed from links on the page. All Offbeat Oregon stuff is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. See offbeatoregon.com/cc for details. Finally, if you're ever up in Corvallis and have time for a cup of something, look me up. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Have a great day.